All right, good morning, everyone. I guess just following that, I just want to let everyone know who's on the line today that this call is open to the public and is being recorded at this point. At this point, we've gone through. It sounds like we have a good representation of the steering committee on today's call. For those members of the steering committee who had not had an opportunity to introduce themselves, could you do so at this time? All right. Not hearing a response, I guess we have those individuals who are going to join at this time. I know just from emails, I think Dr. Peterson is planning on joining, but I don't believe he's on at this time, so we'll just expect him to join at a later time. So we've gone over members of the steering committee. If we could now have major developers who are on the line introduce themselves.
Jay Shore, Brigham and Women's Hospital.
Morning, Jay. And Sharman, I also believe you're on the line from the Lewin Group.
Sharman Stevens from the Lewin Group, and also I believe Dr. Michael Pentecost from NIA is there. Dr. Pentecost?
Yep, I'm here.
Good morning.
Thanks, Scott.
And Joe, are you here from the ACC, or do we have a representative from the ACC? All right. I know Joe was thinking that he might not be able to make the call, and so I believe he's going to send someone in his place, so they will join probably at a later time. And just moving forward, want to quickly run over the agenda that we have laid out today. We're going to do a brief recap of where we currently are. And then moving forward, we're going to start reviewing the comments that we received on the draft report. You all should have a copy of the Excel table that we sent out. I know I apologize. It is very much a work in progress, and we're sending you a couple different versions, but we will be displaying on our screen the most up-to-date version that we have at this time, so all those participating in the webinar will be able to see that. Following the review and discussion of the comments that we received for the draft report, we're going to touch and look at the review of the combined measure that was resubmitted to NQF. This was the measure the steering committee recommended be combined with the currently endorsed measure, and Dr. Bello and Dr. Foreman have agreed to lead discussions on this. From that point, we're going to move to next step in the process and then open up the line for public comments. Any questions at this time?
Yeah, Ian, this is Eric.
Hey. Oh, good morning, Eric. How are you?
Good. Hey, did the web contact, I keep getting that at least the link that I have, that it's not active at this time? Is there a different web link?
It appears to be okay for us.
I'm Dr. Peterson, are you able to click from the PDF and does it go, or does it now even work from the PDF?
The agenda.
Or I believe Sarah also may have attached the web link within some of the emails.
Okay. When was the last email sent out on this topic?
14.
Okay. I'll find it. Thank you.
In the 14th email.
Okay.
I just checked it worked.
Great. Thank you.
All right. No problem. Let me know if you need any help troubleshooting. Okay, so if there's no questions at this point, I think we're going to move forward just to a quick recap, let everyone know where we currently stand and how we're going to proceed from here. Following the closure of the draft report comment period on June 28th, we received a significant portion of comments via the member and public comment period. We have tried to capture those and put those within a comment table for you to review. Unfortunately, it is challenging. There are a lot of comments to review. It's difficult in trying to find the most effective way to present the information to you. Later on, I'm going to talk about a proposed plan to review this. We are amenable to any changes the steering committee would like to make in the plan to review, but just wanted to propose something to move forward. So from this point, at the closure of today's call, we'll send out a meeting summary of the call and the actual discussions, and then we'll move forward with the actual revision of the report and then member voting here at NQF. So just in conscious of time here, I'd like to move forward really on our review of the draft report comments. Are there any questions right now? All right. Hearing none, I just want to provide a brief overview of the approach that we're suggesting to review the comments right now. Sally is putting up the comment table. This is the most up-to-date table that we have at this point. This table does reflect some changes that you may not have in front of you if you're looking at the earlier versions that were sent out. Want to go over one thing. As I indicated earlier, this comment table is really a work in progress. We tried to make sure that both you, the steering committee, and major developers had adequate time to review everything. So there have been multiple versions that have gone out. We do apologize. I know some major developers didn't see specific questions that we had asked them to review. We sent those at a later date, so unfortunately, I know some of the major developers weren't able to respond to everything at this time, so NQF is working with those major developers to follow up on any issues. In moving forward, as you can see here on the comment table, we've tried to break it out into potential comment themes. You can see that. So the first one starting says support with modifications. Next to comment themes, you can see we have proposed action steps. These proposals are simply something here from NQF to start a discussion. We are very open to having the steering committee review these, discuss, disagree, but we really wanted to just stimulate the discussion and are not wedded to any of these proposals there. The next column to that is primary respondents. That's just a simple identification of who really the question was targeted to. So those are potential sort functions that you can use on your own computer. Today, we have proposed to review the measures or the comments that were submitted to NQF, simply going through numerical order of the measures. So we'd be starting off with measure 005. And so we will do those sort functions on our screen. But if you are paying attention, we'll just make sure we're speaking over everything and indicating what measures we're actually reviewing. Prior to looking at the comments, we need to make sure that we're actually specifying the comment number, which is in the far left column, just to make sure everyone is on the same page when reviewing comments. I don't know if there's any questions at this time. Having reviewed all the measures in numerical order, we then propose to review those comments that are more general comments to the larger project or comments on measures that were not endorsed. We have allowed the major developers to have speaking access throughout just in case you want to engage them in discussion, so please do so at will. And at that point, I think we're ready to move forward. I guess the idea is we will introduce the topic that we're covering. So this first time we'd be going right now would be measure 005. After bringing up the comments for 005, we'll then hand really over control to Dr. Peterson and Dr. Gazelle to lead discussions from there. Are there any questions, or would the steering committee like to pose anything different at this time? All right, hearing none, for those individuals participating in the webinar, I'd like to direct you to your screen. We are on measure 005, and we have the first comment, which is number 18. And Scott and Eric, I don't know if you would like to take over control at this time and direct the discussions.
Sure. Do you want to summarize? Do you want to have someone summarize the measure?
I can go over a brief.
Because it depends on how many different monitors I think people have in front of them. It may be difficult to toggle back and forth.
Correct.
Between the measure, the comments, and the discussion.
All right. So we have measure 005. It's a pulmonary CT imaging for patients at low risk for pulmonary embolism. So that's the measure title. Unfortunately, I don't have in front of me in my paperwork the actual description. If you give me a second, I can bring that up.
Yeah, at least just to have it in case specific questions come up.
Okay.
I think that would be good.
Where would I find it?
Eric, I'm happy to lead the discussion on the first couple, and if you want to take over for the cardiac ones, that would be great. I'm happy to do it otherwise if you'd like.
That sounds great.
Okay. So 005 comments, it looks like, to my eyes, all of them were favorable or generally supportive, with the potential exception of the one from the Cleveland Clinic, which I can't find right now.
That would be comment number 63.
Coming into view now.
Okay. So let's see. Are any of the committee members who reviewed this, who were the lead reviewers on this, measure at our initial meeting on the call? No. Okay. Has everyone had a chance to review the Cleveland Clinic comment number 63 concerns, and do we have any suggestions on Ian, what you need from us is suggestions on what we how we think we should proceed with this, or does it change our view our votes or our view of the merits of the measure? Is that our goal now?
Correct, yes.
So we were generally supportive of this measure as a group, given the modifications. And my opinion is that while the comment number 63 raises some concerns, I think that my personal opinion is that the measure as written and revised is strong, and I would suggest that we don't make any changes to our recommendations. That is, that we continue to support its endorsement.
Yeah, I don't. This is Howie. I don't get the sense that they're actually down on the measure. They think it can be improved, and I don't think that we're opposed to doing that in the future. But to delay this by 6 months or more, perhaps, I'm not sure is warranted.
Yeah, I mean, I think their issue. Part of their issue gets to the concern that we talked about at the meeting, which is at sites that don't have kind of a functional order entry and electronic medical record system, it may be difficult to get the information required to complete the measure, and so their concerns about the reliability and validity, I think, are on that basis, and I think we share their concerns.
That's going to be a problem across the board, I think, and I agree that this is a moving event, and I wouldn't hold up the measure for that. A lot of that's going to change within the next couple of years as meaningful use comes into play and the systems, especially in hospitals, become much more governed by electronic records.
We certainly hope so.
Yeah, but I was going to say. That, you know, we do hope that comes to pass.
Yeah.
It's only taken us 40 years to get where we are.
And, Ian, is it correct this was recommended for time-limited endorsement?
We are on measure number 5.
Yeah.
Just a second. I'm bringing it up on my other screen here. I'm sorry. Unfortunately, the document I'm looking at doesn't have it. I believe...
If
it was not tested, then it is only eligible for time limits and endorsement, and this is something I can follow up with the committee on.
I'm pretty sure that was the case, because we had the same concerns about, I think the proposal was to have sort of a paper-based form for the sites that didn't have electronic capture of the necessary information, and we had concerns about the feasibility of that.
Correct.
Okay. Hearing no further discussion or comments, should we move on to the next measure?
Well, have we gotten all the comments on here? I think there's one below 71.
71.
Well, how about the next one? That obviously, and I can't see the whole thing there.
82?
Yeah, 82.
I don't see 82 on my list. Oh, there it is. Okay. Sorry. Yeah. Well, there's several comments. I wasn't getting it to the one that were supportive.
Okay.
There are a lot up at the top as well, low-numbered ones. I was only happy to discuss any of them. But 82 is about a different – oh, 82, I guess, covers multiple ones.
Correct. Unfortunately, we not all comments were targeted specifically to one measure, so they may span across different measures.
Yeah, so that was generally supportive. And again, the concern, I think that was generally
similar.
Yeah.
We shared those concerns, but move on forward.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so move on to the next measure.
Okay, so at this point we're moving on to measure 007. The title of this measure that is now on your screen is Appropriate Head CT Imaging in Adults with Mild Traumatic Brain Injury. And we, if you hold on 1 second, we have another document. I apologize, we have a couple different screens we're trying to work with to provide you further insight on the actual description of the measure. Bear with me 1 second. So this measure is from the Brigham Women's Hospital. We're putting a specs table on. This was also something that was provided within the documentation sent to you, I believe, on the 14th. And we're just trying to reformat it so it's legible on your screen here. So we'll scroll down. So a brief description of this is percentage of adult patients who present within 24 hours of a non-penetrating head injury with a Glasgow coma score greater than 13 and underwent head CT for trauma in the ED who have a documented indication consistent with guidelines prior to imaging. Would you like a kind of a further review, or is that helpful?
No, I think that's fine. So we're talking 007.
Correct.
Yeah. I'm trying to pull it up on my screen, the whole measure as well. Okay. So now the you really have to toggle between a lot of screens here.
We do apologize, unfortunately.
Okay. We can have a discussion, you know, if anyone has any general comments, but I think we should focus on any comments that raised specific concerns or questions or were not supportive. And I think, again, we have comment number 67.
Yep.
Cleveland Clinic.
Mm-hmm.
Some concerns. Are any of the primary reviewers of this measure on the call now?
I think we both are, Howie and Jacqueline Bella.
Yeah. Howie or Jacqueline, would you like to lead the comments or lead the summary of the comments on this one?
I did not go back and summarize it. I looked at them, and there was nothing that seemed to be in a real obstruction to this. Which comments are you specifically talking about?
67. Comment from Cleveland Clinic.
I think they spend a lot of time trying to differentiating between the two studies that were provided as background. And I think that while the differences between those two exist, I think that combined they form an adequate background and that it's an important measure. I wouldn't dwell on the differences or strengths between the two existing studies.
It struck me that they were asking for it to be more strict rather than less strict.
Yeah, that's my impression as well.
And I thought that, you know, as a starting point, this is the one, I'm sorry, because when I was speaking before, I was referring to this one, that there's nothing wrong with considering this going forward, but to delay this or modify it when it's time limited. And I think this one also was time-limited, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, both of them.
So I just felt like, why not move forward with it and reconsider that comment in the future?
I would agree with that.
I mean, I think my general concern about all of, at least many of the measures that were, I think there were three or four from the Brigham, is the feasibility at places that are going to have to do paper forms. But we'll learn that, right? We'll learn. That's why we're recommending time-limited endorsement.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And they said they're going to.
Well, my personal recommendation, I think I'm speaking for both of us, is that the status of it currently is adequate and that we can always look to improve it at the end of the time limit.
I agree. Is there anyone else who feels differently?
Oh.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. The next measure for us?
Moving on down from there would be measure 010, measure 10. This measure is...
preoperative evaluation of low-risk non-cardiac surgery risk assessment, CMS. Is that correct?
Correct. Yes, correct. Thank you, Eric.
Okay. Very briefly, the measure. This measure calculates the percentage of low-risk non-cardiac surgery procedures performed at a hospital outpatient facility with a stress echo, blah, 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 various testing modalities performed within 30 days of a low-risk procedure. And just remind me, this was recommended for, do we have time limited on this, or is this recommended for?
I believe this is recommended for full endorsement at this time.
Okay. So if we can, are the measure evaluators on this call, the two primary reviewers for this?
Don Rucker, I was one of the two of this board team.
Great.
If there are any objections that were...
Oh, actually, there were a series, it looks like. I'm sorry? So the objections look like they came. There was a series that if we turn to the. I don't know if you're turning down through these things. They came from. The first comment would be 58, Joe Allen.
Yep, and we now have that on your screen if you're on the webinar.
So his objection was that the measure is based on claims data, therefore cannot account for the reasons that the test was ordered and may inappropriately miss patients who had chest pain.
This is Ray Gibbons. That's, of course, correct.
Yep.
Yeah. I my sense is that that the MQF response
sorry, you're cutting in and out.
I think the MQF response is appropriate.
My general read of the response is just saying that there'll be misclassification.
And right, but for simplicity of calculating the measure, I guess I would agree with what NQF says. I think what we've got is reasonable. It's not perfect, but it's a starting point.
I'm sorry, who's speaking now?
This is Judy.
Hi, Judy. Okay.
Ray Gibbons, in the response, I think there should be a statement that we expect there to be misclassification. It's not intuitively obvious that saying the measure should not be zero means that we realize that the non-zeros are going to be misclassification in all likelihood. That is not wrong. I think we should say that somehow in the comments.
More the outlier. This is Judy again. It's more the outliers or the people at sort of the ends of the spectrum.
Right.
Need to assess their quality and what they're doing.
So maybe to get Ray's issues down and more fully address what Joe Allen had brought up, if we acknowledge that there will be some misclassification, but that the emphasis is. I think the rest of it does read well with the idea of emphasis on the outlier status.
Okay. All right. I think we've taken note of that.
Okay. Comment then 59, also from Joe Allen, American College of Cardiology, measures hospital-based and may assign accountability incorrectly as the imaging test may be ordered and or performed by the institution or physician outside of the institution or outside of the hospital which the surgery is performed.
Don Rucker, I didn't have I wasn't quite able to follow his comment in terms of what sort of likely scenario. I mean, if this sort of happens on a rare basis, I think Ray's comment holds. I wasn't able to sort of identify a common scenario. in my own mind. I mean, maybe I'm just missing something where it would change the measure.
Okay. No other problems from anyone else on this? We'll move on. All right, if we scroll down through, there's a the next one is Joe Drozda, American College of Cardiology. The measure is focused on hospital outpatient facilities, making the assignment of accountability for performance measures very difficult for imaging tests that may be ordered by a physician outside the hospital's influence. Again, this is the same measure, comment. And then let's see as we go down through these. The final one, also Joe Drozda, large number of such procedures are likely to overwhelm the numerator and number of imaging studies performed, making it difficult to discern significant variance in performance among hospitals. I think without a lot of empiric data, this will be hard to address. And as we have emphasized before, we're looking at the outlier value. So otherwise, if there are no other thoughts or comments, I think they've done a reasonable job at responding to these.
Eric, Ray, I think we did see the empiric data from CMS regarding the point that Joe draws.
Sharman, are you on the line?
I don't know whether we can reflect that in the comment, but we actually did see some data. He's right in that the numbers were small, but there was still quite a distribution with outliers, which is
yes, and the point, I mean, what we try to reflect is it is a, you know, the point that, the denominator gets large and consequently you get a small ratio number. The measure really is designed to look at outliers, you know, and so the full committee knows. We actually also looked at a calculation similar to what the ACC is essentially using in their low-risk surgery measure, where the denominator is actually the number of the imaging procedures, and then the numerator is the imaging procedures that are associated with low-risk surgery. But so we recognize the issue that Joe Allen is raising, and it's something that we are looking at. But we do think that the measure still, you know, as the committee member said, you see this outlier tail.
So this is Ray Gibbons. I'm not disputing the measure. I'm disputing our response. I don't think our response does justice to the concern that Joe Drozda raises. We have seen empiric data. The numbers are small. He is correct. However, there are outliers. I think the response should say that.
Well stated, I think.
Yeah, and you have the distribution. Yeah, we can. We're happy.
No, but we should.
No. He's not asking for the distribution.
In the response about that issue.
And
this is now the third time I've made the point. Is it clear yet?
I think exactly what Ray just reiterated last time through ought to be our response, not the actual numbers, but the idea that there is, the reviewer is correct, there is low numbers, but that there is still outlier values that are able to be identified by this measure.
All right, thank you very much. We've captured that.
Other comments? Then I think we can move on to 13.
All right.
Scott, do you want to take this?
Sure.
Just 1 second, and my colleague's just updating the Excel document at this point, so we're moving there shortly. So measure number 13, Dr. Gazelle, do you want to take lead on that, or do you want me to introduce
it? Sure. So this was the use of brain CT in the emergency department for atraumatic headache, and it's the percentage of emergency department visits for headache with a coincident brain CT study, and this was in Medicare population. And let me look at the comments. Sorry. So here we have, again, all or largely, I would say, starting at number 42, that the first comment on this one?
No, 48.
Wasn't it
38 is one.
38, sorry, is the first one. This comes from Tom Lee, Partners Healthcare, who does not support it. First, I'd like to ask, are any of the principal reviewers of this measure on the call?
I think all three of us are.
All three. Would you like to comment on the comment?
This is Patty Raxon. I think that he is expressing the criticism that we had expressed earlier in committee about the fact that we are using Medicare data and therefore we are looking at a group of patients who would have a higher likelihood of having pathology identified on a head CT if presenting with headache. So his point is taken. I think, though, this has to be looked at in juxtaposition with Measure 6, which was not recommended for endorsement, and I think as a group that we had felt that this was a better constructed measure, and we were willing to accept the age limitation as an initial step.
That's my recollection as well.
Well, there were Steve Cantrell. There were a few of us that actually disagreed with that completely. I do find it interesting as you review the comments that the comments from people who actually practice emergency medicine, by and large, are negative. You have comments from the American College of Emergency Physicians, from AAEM, two very large groups of emergency physicians that object from many different, I very thoughtfully object to this measure, and it concerns me that we have really no positive comments from anyone who actually practices emergency medicine. And emergency medicine, I think, has been overall very supportive of the concept of performance measures. So it disturbs me that the NQF will fly in the face of all comments by emergency physicians. And I think we should really carefully reconsider whether this measure should be put forward.
May I ask, Ian, what are our options at this point? Can we reverse our committee recommendations?
Yes, you very much can. I think, as Dr. Steve Cantrell was indicating, I mean, this is the time to really work through some of those issues. If there are major objections, this is your time to really discuss those points.
And procedurally, would we re-vote then? Or would we do that by email subsequently?
Correct, yeah. There would be a re-vote. We'd have to send a discussion and a summary out to those members on the steering committee who are not able to participate in today's call, and then we'd have to have a follow-up vote and potentially a follow-up call or email conversation.
This is Patty Raxon again. Dr. Cantrell, I don't disagree with you in the tone of the comments, and quite honestly, in further reflection, I would be more willing to say that we should not move forward with this particular measure than to say that we would reconsider Measure 6. I don't feel that either one individually is a strong measure.
Well, I think those are two different issues, and I right now I'm just concerned about this measure. And I, for those of you that remember all the hubbub over the blood cultures associated with pneumonia, I think the potential for this measure to cause a similar, if not greater, degree of concern is certainly present.
This is Rich Griffey. I'm also an emergency physician. I agree with Steve. I think that we discussed this at the big meeting where, you know, the concern with Measure 6 was, you know, people said, well, why would you indicate that you didn't have an appropriate reason for obtaining a test that you were going to obtain? And the concern here was that you could have a patient who goes through and has a head CT and arrives at the other end with a diagnosis of headache, and if they didn't hit one of the exclusion criteria, then you were in a sense penalized for that. And so it didn't really promote quality on the front end. It was more of a penalty in a way for overuse on the back end. So I also agree with the other comment. I mean, neither are great measures, again, I have concerns with moving forward with this one as well.
This is Judy. And from the payer perspective of Medicaid, I think that one thing this measure might do is have people more be more specific in their end diagnosis so that it's not just headache, or that so you can tell that it's a more complicated or there's a reason. But also, I think that this is similar to the cardiology measure that we just discussed, and that there's probably a spectrum, that zero is, you know, not the right answer, and it's those outliers on both the very high and the very low end that are probably where the quality concerns are.
But I, Steve Cantor again, I would just reiterate that it's, I find it very interesting that there are no positive comments from people that actually practice emergency medicine on this measure. On many of the other measures, there are positive comments. I think that is a very, very telling thing. I understand the desire for us all to be more accurate in terms of our coding, but the wish is a long way from the reality. And I think this would just cause a, this would, I think, undo a lot of very positive aspects in terms of the whole concept of performance measures, that we really run the risk with poorly defined performance measures to develop a greater sense of hostility amongst the medical professionals that really we're being able to kind of pull along right now.
This is right here.
I guess I
wonder if as part of this discussion we could look at comments 85 and 86 from Cleveland.
And this is Judy. I guess I would push back that what I would hope this measure does is have people reconsider that sort of shoot from the hip. Someone over 65 comes in with a headache, they automatically get a CT.
But they don't automatically get a CT.
I think that there's a lot of overuse in this population, just, you know, with only a little thinking. And this is really a call to do some more thinking in depth about whether you really need the test or not.
I agree with that. This is a crude measure that will not achieve your endpoint.
Right. I think that's part of the problem. Roger Snow here. I agree with Judy that there's a real problem here, the issue, and I think Tom Lee would agree too. But I think that the issue is whether this measure, as it's presently constructed, is going to deal with it without creating a whole, A, deal with it at all, or B, partly deal with it without creating a lot of other problems. I think the issue is just pointing at atraumatic headache, which could be something very bad. That 85-year-old was also on warfarin, and that person is at substantial risk for a bleed.
May I make a comment? My name is Laszlo Metra. I'm a headache specialist and neurologist, and I was part of the subcommittee, and I fully understand the emergency room physician's opinion. It is also my opinion that this population, Medicare population, has the highest potential for morbidity in regard to intracranial pathology causing headaches. The population I would like to see is a migraine population of a 20-30-year-old that are inappropriately being CAT scans and meet the criteria for migraine. So I understand the emergency room's opinion, and retrospectively, I think my opinion would be also, even though I was part of the subcommittee that recommended, is to maybe put this on hold.
Scott, this is Mike Pentecost from CMS and Lewin, and we did have input from the American College of Emergency Physicians in the creation of this. So it's really a mischaracterization to say that we didn't.
I would challenge that. You did have some emergency physicians on your technical expert panel, but I do not believe that you had any formal input from ACEP.
The ACEP nominated the member of our subcommittee.
That doesn't mean that you got formal input from ACEP. That means that one of the 20,000 emergency physicians agreed with what you were proposing.
One that was selected by the ACEP.
I understand, but you did not get we don't need to argue about this now, but there's some flaws in the process.
So what I'm hearing, this is Scott Gazelle, what I'm hearing is that the committee has a lot of concerns about this measure. So the sense I'm getting is that we ought to summarize those concerns and re-vote. But before I propose that, I'm having a hard time understanding why we voted in the first place to recommend this based on the discussion. Ian or others, can you remember, or Ian, can you access what the voting was? Was it close?
Gosh, you know, I don't know if we'll be able to bring that up at this time. I can provide the actual voting results within a separate email. Offhand, I believe the vote was very close. I believe during the time of the in-person meeting, the steering committee had somewhat of similar deliberations as you had today. CMS provided some supplemental information after the in-person meeting, and I believe in one of the follow-up calls we discussed this. It seemed like there was some sway in some of the steering committee members' standpoint on it, and as I indicated before, the vote subsequently was very close.
May I just add, the vote was 15-4.
Okay.
Just for the record, the two emergency physicians on the steering committee voted against this.
Also, Scott, this is Patty again. I think the other thing we have to keep in mind is that when we were in committee initially, we were considering this measure and Measure 6 at the same time. And I think that we felt that this was an important measure and that something should move forward. And I think when we looked at the two measures together, that as a group, we had decided to move with 13 rather than 6, and I think we have to keep that in mind.
This is Rich Griffey. My recollection is that Measure 6 was dismissed on importance initially, which was confusing to some of us since they were both aiming at the same general target, and that was subsequently appealed.
Correct.
But that 6 was dismissed, leaving this one to be voted upon. The problem with 6 was feasibility, and the strength of this one, of this measure, 13, was feasibility. And so it's a much more feasible measure, but I don't need to reiterate the other flaws that have raised a lot of objections.
So maybe in retrospect, when 6 was appealed, the main part of the appeal was, well, we didn't vote this one out on significance, and we did vote 6. We should have gone back and said, well, maybe we should have voted this one out on significance. Is that?
No. I mean, I think they should both have been considered. But I think that we were left with one measure, and there was interest in moving forward on the issue, and perhaps that influenced voting. I don't know.
Okay.
I would have to agree with that, but I would also say that because we didn't get past the importance criterion for 6, we didn't talk about the fact that there are other flaws in that measure.
I see. Okay. Well, does anyone on the call, any of the committee members on the call, object to proceeding as follows? Send out a summary of this discussion, resend out the measure, and do an email or a offline revote.
Well, Steve Cantrell, I have no problem with that. I would ask, though, that we have people very carefully consider the comments. I mean, that's the whole. My understanding is the whole reason we have this comment period, and I think there's some very, very thoughtful comments here that need to be carefully considered before we just do a reflex revoting.
I agree, and what I'd propose is that we ask Ian and the NQF staff to summarize, to send us out the comments only on this measures excerpted, so not the whole list of comments,
sure.
A summary of this discussion.
Right.
And we'll include in that perhaps the summary of the past discussion as well.
That would be good.
Great.
All right, thank you very much.
Okay, next for us is...
So moving on past 13, we're reviewing Measure 014. We're bringing that up on the screen right now. The measure title for this is Cardiac Stress Imaging Not Meeting Appropriate Use Criteria, Preoperative Evaluation in Low-Risk Surgery Patients.
Eric, you want to?
Yeah, sure. Sorry. So this measure had significantly fewer, which is good. There was one contentious. Our contention of the measure aspects put forth by, I assume, Elena Casaroni. We worry about the unintended consequences of the need for stress tests having not been ordered. This metric like the manual chart review to determine aspects of care. And the response, never intended to reach zero. was anticipated that it would be collected at the ordering system using an electronic system. So I think that the authors have responded to it appropriately. And then there was one that will come up a series of times, I think, which is support with modification. Measure 3 appears to be the same clinical process. It's unclear, the accompanying document, why the measure opted for 2 very similar measures. Knew that already. Rationales were generalizability of the looking at different population age populations.
Right.
Any other comments or thoughts on this measure?
This is Troy Fessinger calling in. Some of the comments mentioned adding CT angiography, and I know we discussed that back and forth several times. Current thought? Are we added in, or are we still leaving it out?
This will come up on each of the remaining measures. So,
we'd added. This is Ray. I thought we'd added it.
I thought we had 2, but I've now lost track because the commentators are implying we haven't.
That's 2 of us.
Have been added.
We
I think
add rest MRI, which is suggested in comment 54.
Right. But the reviewer's response, at least as I or the
yeah,
measure
right
development
on.
And response, stress MRI and CTA have been added to this measure.
Yeah. But okay. Point, that response also says that the issue of MR itself is unlikely to substantially change.
Right.
I would totally agree.
Any other comments? Okay, I think we can move on to measure 15, cardiac stress imaging, not meeting appropriate use criteria, routine testing after percutaneous coronary intervention. And this measure received just 2 comments, a support and a support with modification, and again, the issues came up about stress MRI and CTA have been added. And exactly the same comments we brought up on the last, so I think we should generally be consistent upon using the same criteria. Comments?
Ray, again, I thought the responses were direct and correct. For example, regarding comment 55, that the 2-year framework was chosen. Just a little point, 30 days, 6 months.
Great. We'll move on to measure 16. Cardiac stress imaging not meeting appropriate use criteria, stress testing in asymptomatic or low-risk patients from the American College of Cardiology. This also received a few comments. The first of those, though, is a do not support from WellPoint, Catherine McLean. WellPoint agrees inappropriate use of stress cardiac imaging in asymptomatic low-risk patients is not good. However, we believe there is great variability in the way physicians assess risk. Physicians often estimate patients' risk is higher than the patient's actual calculated risk. Therefore, there may be not enough data to do an evaluation. The ACC did not respond. Was there a reason that they did not, or is it just a timing issue on this?
Was really just a timing issue. So we're working with them to generate a response at this time. Unfortunately, Joe is not on the call, so I will follow up with him and can send that response out to the steering committee as soon as I get something.
Sure.
This is Ray.
Yeah.
You might want to remind Joe that the ACC actually has data from the multi-center work by Hendel that addresses this point.
Okay.
And was publicly presented. But not published as part of the paper. It is mentioned in the editorial by Miller that appeared in the same journal of Jack with the Hendel multicenter study. So WellPoint is indeed correct and the ACC actually has data to respond to.
Okay.
I think, again, in the spirit of response, when people take the time to, you know, put in comments, we ought to respond as specifically as we could, as we can, and I really think that response should include some of that data.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. I have that note down, and we'll talk with Joe about it.
But just to be clear, Ray, while we will respond back to that, I would say, if anything, that this comment would not invalidate the measure.
Right.
It would just say that the measure may underestimate the magnitude of the problem.
Correct.
Okay.
Agreed. Maybe the comment back should say that.
Okay. And then we discussed the issue about the support with modification issues that we had exactly discussed in the last measure. Other comments or thoughts on this measure?